A lot of fellowshipping going on. Sorry to interrupt that, but it is time to begin. A good morning to everyone, whether you're present here in the building or watching online. We appreciate those that watch online for whatever reason that they have. And so before we get started this morning with our song service and our opening prayer, I'd like to read from God's holy word, reading from the ESV. I'd like to share the following scripture. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, Brother Phil, lead us in song.
First song we'll sing together is hymn number 232, Worthy You Are Worthy. Let's all sing. We'll sing hymn number 230, Worthy Art Thou.
Worthy are thou.
Before led in prayer, we'll sing together hymn number 239. 239, then we'll be led in prayer. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice to the Lord. Sing, I love you, Lord. Sing,
let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you at this time so thankful for this Lord's Day and this opportunity to just be together and to sing songs and worship you, Lord. And we know there are many that are sick or in nursing homes and hospitals, Lord. We just ask that you be with them and those that are tending with them, Lord. And we know we have some that may have lost loved ones, Lord. We just pray that you be with the families and just put your hand over their hearts and just help them through this difficult time, Lord. And we come to you today. We know that so many of us are dealing with things or fighting battles that maybe others don't know about. And we just ask that you give us the strength to deal with those things in a way that would bring glory to you and to help our walk with you, Lord. And we pray that you just be with us throughout this week and let us seek your face in the things that we do and bring honor and glory to your name, Lord. And we thank you most of all for your forgiveness and sending your son to die for us and forgive us for our sins. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Before our scripture reading and Tim brings the lesson to us this morning, we'll sing together 859. 859 when all of God's singers gets home. If you would, please stand with me as we sing.
Oh,
be seated. If you're marking our song of invitation, following the lesson, that's going to be 935.
Now is an appropriate time for the children who are going to the children's training class to exit. I'll be reading Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. And I'm reading the English Standard Version. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life in or from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Don't you love that sound? I love it. So thankful to have all these little ones among us, even if at times they like to cry. I get it. I like to speak out during worship too. But all right, we're so glad you're here with us today. I was thinking about the question, is it worth it? That's a question we may face now and then. You know, you go to a store and you say, wow, that looks really good. I think I want that. And then we see the price and we say, it's not worth that. And we pass it up. We sang earlier a couple of songs about God being worthy. Do you agree with that? Is God worthy? Amen. And that's why we're here today, because we know God is great and awesome. He has provided us with everything that we need, and especially a Savior. And so we come together to worship him and to praise him, and we'll have that opportunity again this evening at 6:00. He is worthy of all that we can give him, all that we can give him. And I would urge you to come back out and join us at that time at 6:00. At that time, I'm going to be talking about striving together in prayer. I know it's different in the bulletin. I changed my mind. I'm going to do that one tonight. But tonight I want you to come out and join us, and let's study together that idea of striving together in prayer. It's a really encouraging lesson, I think, and so I really hope you'll come out and be with us for that. All of you online, we're glad that you're with us. Thank you for joining us. And all of you visitors, we're glad you're with us today. I've not had a chance to get around to meet everybody, but if you're visiting with us, I'd like to meet you before you leave. And if we can help you in any way, please let us know. We'll do whatever we can. Come back and join us every time you can. But we're here to worship God, and our worship continues as we go to his word. So I urge you to get your Bible, open it up, turn it on, whatever it takes to get into the word of God, and let's study together from this marvelous book and learn lessons that will help us much, much in this life. You probably heard the word burnout, and maybe some among us have experienced that at one time or another. I can't say that I ever have. Here's the way it's defined by ClevelandClinic.org. Burnout is physical, emotional, or mental exhaustion, accompanied by decreased motivation, lowered performance, and negative attitudes toward oneself and others. And as I said, this is something that people experience sometimes. They are just so overworked, they think, I just can't do this anymore. And sometimes it leads people to say, I'm going to leave this job that I've had for so many years, and I'm going to start with something totally different. And so we seek some relief from that burnout. Is there such a thing as religious burnout? Is it possible for Christians to reach that point where they say, you know, I've been doing this a long time. It's time for me just to ease off and back away and let somebody else take over? And I think there are people that experience that. We can have that religious burnout. And I would suggest that if we've been Christians for a year or many years, it's wise to examine ourselves, to say, is this something that I'm struggling with? And if so, what can I do about it? Should I do anything about it? Or is it okay just to experience burnout and say, all right, I'll just go through the motions, I'll do the bare minimum, and that'll be enough? Let's look in God's word. Let's find out what he says about this. And again, I hope you'll be following with me as I go through these scriptures, turn to them as they pop up on the screen, and I want you to see, as I see, this is God's word. Not my word, it's the word of God. Now, first of all, I want to say that we need to remember our calling to service. We as Christians need to remember we have a calling to serve. Now, people that are in our nation's military know the meaning of this. And if you're one of those or have been in the military, I'll say it again, thank you for your service. And there's no way that you can say, well, I don't know what it means. You know, you're going to be told what it means to serve in the military. And if you decide you're not going to, then probably you're facing court-martial and being dishonorably discharged or something maybe even worse. But those in the military know what it means to serve. It's not a matter of, do I want to do this? It's something I've got to do. But Christian service, is it something different? Is it saying, you know, well, you know, when I get around to it, when it's convenient for me, you know, a much more casual approach to serving the needs of others? What is it? Well, Christians are called to service. Let's note that first of all. We're going to begin in the Old Testament first in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. This is something that you have heard many times. In fact, many of you, I suspect, have something on the wall in your home that says these words. Now, not all of the verse, but part of it at least. And this is where Joshua is about to leave Israel. He's about to die. He said, I brought you into the promised land. Now you're going to be on your own. I urge you to make the right choice. And what does he mean by that? Well, listen to what he says. Joshua 24, verse 15. If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, that's talking about the true God, the God of Israel, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And those are the words that we often see framed and hung on a wall. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we love that. We say, yes, that's the way I feel. Is it? Do we choose to serve the Lord? Now, the Lord, yeah, we want the Lord, but he's saying here, I choose to serve the Lord. And that is a choice that all of us must face. But more than a choice, it is a calling. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 now. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, and he says, there's no halfway about it. You got to make a choice. You have to make a clear choice about whom you will serve. He says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have money as a Christian. But it means that you got to choose whom you're going to serve. And many people serve money instead of God. Instead of the Lord. And Jesus says you have to make a choice, and we all will serve someone. We're going to serve someone. It may be ourselves as we see it. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to bow down to me. But the right choice to make, the smart choice, is to say the one who made me, the one who has provided me with all that I have, the one who wants to save me from my sins, I choose to serve him. And it can't be halfway. It's got to be full, wholehearted, as Jesus said right there. And then in Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28, again, Jesus is talking about serving And his disciples were arguing at this moment. They were saying, you know, who's going to be the greatest? Jesus keeps talking about leaving us, and when he's gone, which one of us is going to step up and take his place? And they were arguing about it. I'm going to be the one. No, you're going to be the one. And it was becoming a strife-filled thing. Jesus said in Matthew 20, beginning in verse 26, "It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so Jesus said, if you want greatness, and that's probably in the hearts of many of us, most of us, at one time or another. You know, there was a time I thought, I'm going to be the greatest preacher ever. I've become more realistic since then. But you know, we have those ambitions. We want to be great. And here the Lord says, you got to be a servant. If you want greatness in the eyes of God, that's what he's talking about. If you want to be great in the eyes of God, then you serve other people. And he said, the Son of Man, he's talking about himself there, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Oh, really? Where did Jesus ever serve other people? Well, how about we go to John chapter 13 for a moment. John chapter 13. And here you're going to find Jesus doing something astonishing. I mean, he's been claiming to be the Son of God, the Christ, a very exalted position. And yet look at what he's doing. He's washing the feet of those that were gathered for the Passover meal. That's a job for a slave. Not even a Jewish slave could do that. That was a Gentile slave's job. And yet Jesus is washing their feet. Now what does it mean? He tells us here in John 13 verses 14 and 15. John 13 verses 14 and 15. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Now, what does that mean for us? Foot washing, we don't do that as a religious observance here. If you need your feet washed, then okay, I'll do it if you need me to. Line up. But the point is, what is it that needs to be done that I might normally say, oh, no, that's not for me. That's not something I would do. I would tell them to go get somebody else or hire it to be done. Jesus said, why? If you want to be great, if you want to be like me, like Jesus, then serve. You didn't come to be served, you came to serve. And so again, that's just the way we are to be. Jesus is calling us to be servants. And don't you think that was preparing us for the ultimate act of service on Jesus's part? Death on the cross. I mean, all of the torture, all of the humiliation for the hours that led up to it, and then to be hung on the cross, mocked and ridiculed and shamed. And Jesus said, it needs to be done. The Lamb of God must be slain for the sins of the world. I will do it. He came to serve. And we who call ourselves Christians, that's what we're called to do. We're called to serve. It's very obvious in Scripture. But now let's ask the question, why is it that sometimes Christians weaken in their service? We talked about burnout. You know, can we have religious burnout? Where, you know, at one time I was doing a lot of things maybe for the Lord, serving in the church in a lot of different ways, and now not so much. What might cause us to weaken in our service? Well, again, let's listen to Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 this time. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, this is at the end of a section where he says, don't be anxious about food, clothing, shelter. You know, God will take care of you, but he says it this way in Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What's he talking about there? Priorities. Priorities. Are we putting God first in our lives, his kingdom and his righteousness? That's what we want to accomplish in our lives. And we can say yes, but what do our lives show? What does my daily life demonstrate? Does it show that I am seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? You might think about a passage in the prophet Haggai, the Old Testament prophet of Haggai. It's a very short book. It'll be hard to find. So let me just read it for you in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 4. Now, Haggai comes back from exile along with other Jews. And now here they are in Jerusalem. The temple was begun 20 years ago. And it's still where it was 20 years ago. It's not finished. So what's going on? Haggai says this in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 4. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? A paneled house was another way of saying nice, elaborate. And he's saying, you know, it's not wrong for you to have a nice house. But look, the house of God is lying in ruins. Why are you not working on it? It's time to get back to the work. And through the preaching of Haggai and others, it resumed and was finished in a fairly short amount of time. But you see, that's the idea of priority. I've got other things going on in my life. I don't have time to serve the Lord. I've got this going on. I've got that going on. Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? I've been called to serve. Or maybe here's another reason why sometimes our service weakens. And I go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 for a brief image there that will get the idea across. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, you may remember in this section, he's making a very poetic description of aging. He talks about how, you know, the almond tree blossoms, our hair gets white. You know, that the strong men are trembling, the legs are not holding us up like they once did. And he goes all through that imagery. Now, listen to what he says now in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 5. They are afraid also of what is high. Terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags itself along and desire fails. And that image of the grasshopper dragging itself along, the older I get, the more I can identify with that. Sometimes I have to drag myself along. And as we get older, we're tempted to say, well, I can't do what I once did. No, we can't. But can we do nothing? I mean, can we not do something in the kingdom of the Lord? Can we not continue our calling to serve even though our energy may be diminished? Yes, we can if we look for those opportunities. It brings to mind a business that went bankrupt a few years ago. You may remember it, Toys R Us is just down the street. There was one of those there. And, you know, that's not very good grammar, but it really got the idea across, didn't it? What's that store all about? Toys R Us. Maybe we should call ourselves Service R Us. Maybe that's what we ought to put on a badge, you know. I'm a follower of Christ, Service R Us. And yeah, it's bad grammar too. But that's what we're about. That's what the Bible teaches us. We were called to serve other people as well as God. So maybe we need to renew our service. If we find ourselves in that weakened state, maybe we need to renew our service. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about, first of all, renewed like an eagle. Now, the passage that was read earlier from Psalm 103, Danny read this to us. Let's look at a couple of those verses again. Psalm 103, verse 2. He's saying we need to bless the Lord. And why? He says in Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And as you read on in that psalm, there are several benefits that God gives us. And he mentions those. But the one in verse 5 is the one I want you to notice right now, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, wouldn't that be wonderful if God really did renew our youth like the eagles? Hugh McMillan is a commentator from many years ago, and he wrote this about that particular verse. He said, the eagle's power, in common with other birds, of molting its plumage periodically and so increasing its strength and activity. In other words, he's saying, renewing your strength like eagles, that could refer to the molting process. Where feathers that are damaged, that have grown old and weak, they now shed those and grow new ones. And much more recent than that, the NET Bible, in its notes on that verse, says this: the expression "your youth is renewed like an eagle's" may allude to the phenomenon of molting, whereby the eagle grows new feathers. Now think about that. A bird of any kind, as it flies, as it fights with other birds, as it encounters obstacles, those feathers are going to wear out. And what do you do without feathers? Well, I went to a place on the internet called birdfact.com, and it said when birds molt, they shed their older, weaker, and damaged feathers and replace them with new, stronger ones, which help them fly more efficiently. Strong feathers are vital not only for flight, but play a major role in a bird's ability to stay warm and dry in winter. In other words, feathers for a bird are vital. Well, they get old, they wear out, sometimes they shed them, and for one reason or another, don't worry. God has designed a process to renew their youth like an eagle's. And that's what it says in Psalm 103, verse 5. Look at it again. He satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagle's. And you find it also in the idea in Isaiah chapter 40. And we love this passage. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31. Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I see in that a promise that if I really want to serve the Lord, he will enable me. He will make it so that I can. Now, I can't do things I could do 40 years ago, maybe, but I can do things that are still meaningful and needed by other people. There's no reason for me to stop. And so we can have this renewal. God himself talks about that renewal. In the New Testament, we find the idea as well. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, a really familiar passage to a lot of us for various reasons. Paul said, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice." Living, and I would add there, as long as you live. "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Some translations say service there. And then in verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Transform, and that's somewhat like the idea of molting. You know, my feathers are worn. They're not working like they once did. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can we renew our minds? By knowledge. By knowledge from the Word of God. That's why he gave us the Word of God, is to go there and learn and be refreshed, to be renewed. And then we can even more effectively present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, again the idea of renewal. Paul says there, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires." That might again be like the process of molting, shedding those feathers that are no longer effective. "And be renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." And again, he's saying, you need to be renewed in the likeness of God. He can do it. He can renew you in the spirit of your mind. And again, it simply means I come to the Word of God regularly. I know this is my nutrition. It is my nourishment on a daily basis. And the more I nourish myself from this Word, the more I'm given renewal and vitality. I can do things maybe I never could before. But God knows how I can serve him, and God wants me to serve him. He equips me for that. Titus, in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, It's just one instance of several instances in the latter part of chapter 2 and verse in chapter 3 where he talks about good works. He wants us to do good works, but he says it this way in Titus 2:14, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous. Who are zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. That's a picture of somebody that says, I want to do something. I don't know what I can do, Lord. Show me how I can serve you. I want to serve you, Lord. That's zealous. Quite different from one who might say, well, I've done my duties and I'm over that. Let somebody else step up and take my place. Retirement is not pictured spiritually in the Bible. Instead, we are to keep on serving as long as we live. Those who serve in the military in our nation know this idea very well. There is no let up. There is no let up. You keep on serving as long as you're enlisted. If we're in the Lord's army, there is no let up, no let down. We keep on serving as long as we're enlisted. That is our calling. So the bird's feathers, as we've said, become worn and ineffective with all the years of wear and tear on them. But the great designer, God, has designed it so that those feathers can be renewed on a regular basis. They can keep on as long as they're alive. They'll keep on having what it takes to fly, to live. And even though at times we get worn out, burn out, we say, Lord, I just don't want to keep on. He's designed a way for us to be renewed. You're doing it right now, part of it. Coming together for worship is a way to renew ourselves, to be encouraged, to be motivated. I hope that's happening with some this morning. And he's also given us that time alone when we can read our Bibles, pray to him fervently, genuinely. We can worship him together or in the privacy of our own homes. And by serving, that in itself renews us. There's such a feeling of joy that comes by serving people. And this morning, I hope some will be motivated to be renewed in their service. Can we pray with you about that? As a Christian, maybe you've let down and you don't have that motivation you once had. Maybe we need to pray about that, and God will hear that prayer. Or maybe you've not started the walk with Christ yet. You know you need to obey the gospel. You're ready to confess that you do believe Jesus is the Son of God. You're ready to make the decision to repent of your sins and not do those sins anymore. And today you'd be glad to be buried in water with Jesus, to be baptized, to wash away your sins. Can we help you with that? If so, please come as we stand together and sing.
Sit.
Thank you.
Two have responded to the invitation this morning. John Hutchinson has responded. This is the younger one. We know an older one, but John has come forward saying he wants to be baptized into Christ. Yes, amen. Wonderful decision. We've watched John grow, and he's been through college now, and out. I think you graduated, didn't you, John? Have you graduated? Okay, very good. But this is the most important decision of his life, and we're just so thankful for that. And in a few moments, we're going to help him with that, and I hope you'll be able to stay and witness that. It just takes a few minutes to get ready, but you'll see a spiritual miracle occur where someone dead in their sins will be raised to life in Christ. What a great decision, John. We're so thankful for you. And then Robin McLeod has come forward saying that she wants to ask for prayers for her husband, Michael, who is having a lot of pain in his legs. And also for herself, she wants to be a better Christian, but she also wants to be more like the friends around her. Some of them are sitting with her right now. She says they are such a great encouragement to her, and so we're going to pray for her as well. We received a request this morning downstairs in the class for Theodore Harris. This is the husband of Heather Anderson. Theodore Anderson. He's having some difficulties, and she's asked us to pray with her for his help. And so we're going to do that as well. But let's take a moment and go to God in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord. You are so wonderful. We need you, Lord, in every way. We would not exist were it not for you. And we could not survive were it not for you. And Father, without your help through your Son, Jesus Christ, we can't make it a day. And so, Lord, we just thank you for Jesus and pray that we might be greater in our faith and follow him wherever he leads us. We rejoice, Father, that John has made this decision this morning to be baptized into your Son. And Father, we just want to do all we can to encourage him and to help him along the way. We thank you for his parents, Alan and Myra. Thank you for his grandparents, John and Carrie, for his siblings and for all the family, all the friends who have helped bring him to this point. And Father, we pray you'll bless him as he enters into this new life. And Father, we also want to pray on behalf of Robin, for Michael, as he's dealing with pain in his legs, and pray that that will improve. But also be with Robin as she tries to live closer to you and be more like you. And just thank you for those that stand beside her and help her to overcome daily conflicts. And please be with Theodore as he struggles with issues about his health. We pray, Lord, that things will be better. We pray that Heather will be given wisdom to do what she can. And Lord, just let this all turn out for good. And we know, Lord, there are many others that are on our hearts and our minds that need you in a powerful way. We all need you, Lord. Bless us each as you see we have need. For Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Again, we'll take a few moments to get John ready and be ready to baptize him into Christ. So, John, let's go.
For this blessed event this morning, we're going to sing a few songs as we're waiting on John's rebirth. The first song, let's sing together, if we can pull it up here, as Jesus is Lord, hymn number 180. 180.
Jesus is Lord, I read the Jesus. decision to follow Christ. And Christ was standing before the chief priest and asked, "Are you the Christ, the Son of God?" And he said, "I am." And that was a decision that sealed his fate, you might say.
It was going to cost him his life. Well, now I'm going to ask you the same question about Jesus. And it may not cost your physical life, but it means that you're going to live for him for the rest of your days. So do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God?
Yes.
And because of your faith in him, your desire to live for him, to be forgiven of all your sins, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins.
Amen. We're going to sing before we partake of the Lord's Supper. If that isn't love, hymn number 379. And what we're going to be thinking about is made possible the new birth that we witnessed this morning. If it wasn't for Jesus and his sacrifice, it allows us to see this miracle that has happened this morning. So 379.
Thank you. failed to get a communion set as you came in, raise your hand high and the gentleman in the back will be happy to bring you one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we go to that frequently, and we'll go there again this morning. The Corinthian church, I kind of like to read about it because they had their faults, and Paul would call them out on their faults. He said, they had their good things. And he said, I commend you about this, and I commend you about that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, and they've been talking about how they've confused the Lord's Supper with a regular meal and some things going on, and he goes and he says in the last part of verse 22, shall I commend you in this too? No, I will not. And then he goes in to saying about how he received from the Lord about the Lord's Supper. In verse 23, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But why was he not commending them? Well, the next verse tells us why. Verse 27. So whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son who came here upon this earth and went through all the trials and temptations and the physical pain and the emotional pains. And we, as we take of this bread, Heavenly Father, we remember his body and the things it went through. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we are doing this in a way and manner that is well-pleasing to thee, and that we examine our lives so we won't have judgment brought upon us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood that was shed upon his beating by the Roman soldiers and upon the cross where it was shed when nails were driven into his hands and his feet and the spear pierced his side and the crown of thorns was placed upon his head, that we remember the much suffering he went through, but without that suffering and his death, we would not have a chance of eternal salvation. So we thank thee for this blood that was shed and for this cup that reminds us of that. Pray, Heavenly Father, that we do these things in with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also later on in a letter gives a command to the church that upon the first day of the week they should lay aside, and they should do it in a manner that is well pleasing to the God, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We need to be cheerful when we give back to the Lord, be thankful for what we have and what he's given us, and we pray that those things will be used in accordance with his will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you've given us. We thank you for this building that we're able to attend in, and so we'll be out of the out of the elements. We pray, Heavenly Father, that now as we give back to thee a portion, that this will be used to strengthen the kingdom, upbuild the Lord in the word. And we pray that the elders here at this location will do and use it in a wise manner. We thank you for all the things you've given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Would you bow with me again? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of this day. We're thankful that the fact that you have heard our prayers today, some general prayers, some specific prayers, spoken prayers, and unspoken prayers. Father, we thank you for that you are the true and living God. We thank you for the blessings of today, especially what we have just witnessed. Just a reminder of how great you are and how great your wisdom is. Father, as some of the school systems are beginning to make plans, final plans for the upcoming school year, we want to pray that the administrators, teachers, coaches, etc., of all schools, private, public, homeschool, be mindful of your wisdom, not man's wisdom. Father, we thank you for this, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Following morning worship this Sunday, you are invited to come downstairs and pick up an assignment for visit, phone call, or card. Snacks will be available. Central's 2026 Mountain Empire Men's Day is coming this next Saturday, August the 1st. We urge every man, young and old, to come and be part of the encouragement and the fellowship. To sign up, please go to our website. The free breakfast starts at 8 a.m., and we have several great speakers lined up for you to here this time. In the lobby, you will find a table with several Bibles. These are free to anyone who needs one or who would like to give a copy away. Let's do our part in getting God's word into the hands of more people. Remember these in prayer, please. Rebecca H. continues at Franklin Woods Hospital after undergoing abdominal surgery last week. James reported Saturday night that she is doing well, but will likely remain hospitalized for the next several days. Danny C. was discharged from Johnson City Medical Center on Saturday and is now back at his home. He is dealing with paralysis on his left side from the stroke, but he is seeing some progress. For more prayer requests and announcement, see today's bulletin or look at the Daily Focus, or if you're getting the email on Sunday afternoon, you will see these announcements repeated. Thank you very much. Hope to see you this evening.